Save big on everything you need when you shop at Menards. Spidey Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Stay connected to home while you're away with wireless outdoor security cameras. Control all your smart home products from anywhere using one easy-to-use app. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Judge Kevin Mullins, he is the judge whose life was ended in his chamber September 19th of 2024 by one of his close friends, Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins. They were almost family, actually, for quite some time, married to sisters. Got together, had lunch that day, a long-term relationship, friendship. And then out of nowhere, it seems, for some reason, Sheriff Sean Steins thought it was the right thing to pull a weapon out of his holster and take his life in his chambers that day. The big question is, why? What would drive someone to do such a thing as that? And there's all these rumors out there, and as of now, we really don't know exactly what or why, but let's talk about motivation, or let's talk about what could be psychologically going on with someone to take them there. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, joining me to do just that. You've probably seen the video just like I have. What's been your reaction to this case?
It's one of the strangest things I've seen, certainly not one of the most gory things I've seen, but strange in who these two characters were, you know, mm-hmm. to have that kind of violence in the judge's chambers. I mean, it's just very, very weird. And, you know, the only thing I can fall back on is there has got to be a heck of a story behind this. The sheriff was certainly not psychotic. He was not acting irrationally. He had been carrying on with his day in, you know, all his normal routines. And so what happened? And this is what we just don't know. I mean, it's completely weird.
And there was some bizarre things that were said as well by the sheriff as he was being arrested, something to the effect of, they're trying to kidnap my wife and daughter. I mean, that to me spoke to almost like psychotic break. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, what's your take on that? Because it just didn't add up into the whole situation of, okay, maybe he saw something horrible on that phone that really, it just triggered him right. as a parent or a father. I don't know if there's anything to do with his daughter in this. It's been some of the speculation. But then to say something like that, it really makes at least more questions.
Yeah, that's where, you know, if you had 5 or 10 minutes with the guy and could get him talking, I think you might know very quickly what this is all about. Because, yeah, if he had a delusional disorder, it could be something that there's something called a fixed delusion, where a person just has one weird belief and they seem fine in every other part of their lives. So they're not like, you know, the rambling schizophrenic person who can't string two sentences together and is mm-hmm. hearing voices and seeing things. You know, you see a lot of criminal behavior come out of that kind of psychosis mm-hmm. where a person is just really disinhibited and they're not thinking clearly. They look crazy, in other words. But in this case, he didn't look crazy. He didn't seem crazy. But you do have this one strange bit of information, and we don't know how that is all tied together. And so if you had 5 or 10 minutes with him, you could maybe get the rest of that story out, and that would take you along a path of, okay, there's something rational happening here, or this was a completely non-rational belief, and it is some kind of strange psychotic delusion. That kind of psychosis is very, very rare. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you look at him superficially, you don't see anything that looks psychotic. But is it possible that there is something like that happening? Yeah.
Do they really have a history of anything right. like this, as far as we know? But
right.
History doesn't always, I mean, history needs to start somewhere.
It can. Yeah, it can. I've seen people who had a first psychotic break in their 60s, you know, which is very, very rare. It's usually teens or 20s most of the time when it starts. Mm-hmm. So, and again, there's usually a progression where, as we heard so much with Lori Vallow Daybell, who had some psychotic beliefs, definitely, but there was a progression over time where the person becomes weirder and weirder and people are noticing. And with Lori, she's becoming more and more religious and her beliefs are becoming more and more extreme. People were paying attention, but we don't hear anything like that in this case where people were noticing that he was getting strange. It's possible he was and nobody was noticing, you know, but that's where I think even 5 or 10 minutes with him, we would have a lot more of the picture.
Do you think, I mean, obviously we don't know so much about this case, so it's hard to like say, what do you think? But I mean, the death penalty is on the table on this. Prosecutors are citing the premeditated nature of the crime. I don't know how premeditated this was. Does this look to you like a premeditated murder, or does this look like someone who just kind of out of nowhere snapped?
It sure looks like out of nowhere, and I understand that's what his defense attorneys are saying, that there was an extreme emotional distress going on. So something caused it. And the court, we do tend to, in the U.S., look at two things, you know, very differently. If there's an incident that causes someone, it's called like a hot-blooded response. You know, they're very upset, they're defending someone, or something happens, and they kill someone. That's looked at very differently from a cold-blooded response, where somebody plans and plots in advance. I don't see any evidence at this point which gives us enough information to judge which one of those situations might be most apt.
Obviously, I'm assuming they're going to have to do some sort of psychological evaluation on him if they have not already. When you get into that sort of territory, how accurate can the findings be? I mean, obviously, it probably depends on the psychologist that's going in there. I mean, we just saw the Delphi case that wasn't the best psychologist to go in and handle any of that because she was kind of taking the content and then using it on podcasts. But something like this, once they go in, what are they looking for? Like, what are they going to try and find when they have those conversations with him to get into his psyche?
Yeah, you're always looking at the person's entire lifespan and, you know, at what point did they begin having symptoms, if they're having any kind of symptoms. They're doing testing, you know, personality testing and looking at his mood and his relationships. And, you know, it's a really broad kind of picture that you want to get of a person. But I think in this case, it's really going to be key what precipitated the behavior, what started it. And really the key thing, I think, you know, legally is going to be, was he in his sound mind or was he having delusions? And that's would probably be the focus. And that's not real difficult to do. As I say, even if you or I had 5 or 10 minutes with him, we might get the picture of, whoa, there's a crazy belief going here, or this is what happened. And there's something that was really threatening his family. And this is what it is. And the guy's not crazy.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial-free, with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.